and amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. My Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless God, he wasn't late on turning my mic on, was he? He's trying to make up. Open your Bible tonight to the book of Jude. To the book of Jude. Those of you that are new Christians and are not familiar with the Bible, Jude is the little book just before you get to the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation. Book of Jude. If you found the book of Jude, would you stand with me and we shall begin to read in verse number 17. Verse number 17 of the book of Jude. Now, by way of introduction, let me tell you that there were only two Judes or Judases. Jude is the shortened version of Judas mentioned in the New Testament. One was an apostle and the other was the half-brother of Jesus. The apostle was the Judas that betrayed the Lord and hanged himself. He was the son of perdition. He was a hypocrite. He was never saved. And he betrayed the Lord for money. The other was the half-brother of Jesus. He did not get saved until after the resurrection. Jude. None of his brothers and sisters got saved until after the resurrection. And then you're thinking, well, why did they wait? What would you think? Valerie, what would you think if Brett came to you and said, I'm the Savior? Huh? Yeah, it'd take a resurrection to make you believe that, wouldn't it? Richard, Hope, Grace, Michelle, what would you think if Isaac came to you and said, I'm Jesus, the promised Messiah? You know, I don't have a bit of trouble understanding why it took a resurrection for them to believe that. But they did believe, and Jude is the author of the book of Jude, and he does not introduce himself as Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of you, if you had been this Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, if you had not began Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. I know some preachers that would have. They're name droppers. They think it makes them look bigger to let you know all the preachers they know personally. Well, Jude didn't say, "I'm a name dropper." He said, "I'm a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James." James, his other brother, was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. Servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, this epistle is a powerful warning to Christians everywhere, about some who would come into the church in the name of the grace of God and make mockery of the grace of God, using grace as an excuse to indulge in the most licentious sins. You can read that in verse number 4. May I say to you tonight, just by way of introduction, I'm trying to get down to where we're going to begin to read. God's grace or God's love will never condone what God's holiness condemns. Don't be so foolish as to say, "Well, God is love and God is grace." And He is. But that does not give a license to me and you to live like the devil's crowd and to live in sin. Jude is not telling us that we are to teach sinless perfection in this life. No one will ever obtain to that place of sinless perfection. We'll never get to the place where we cannot sin. We ought to grow as Christians to the place where we don't want to sin. But he is telling us that we must never use God's grace as an excuse to willfully sin. He is warning us to beware of those people that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. We're not to fellowship with them. We're not to listen to their heresy. And we're not to run with them. He's warning us to beware of them, lest they affect us in our walk and our life for the Lord Jesus. And at the same time, he is exhorting Christians to live holy lives for the Savior. Now listen to me tonight. Holiness does not begin with outward separation. Holiness begins with an inward relationship between you and the Savior. And when that inward relationship is right, it begins to show up on the outside also. If it only appears on the outside, you're just another Pharisee. Just wanted you to understand that. I'm for clean, holy, righteous living among God's people. But don't you ever substitute standards for holiness. Never. He at the same time is exhorting Christians to live holy lives for the Savior and to magnify Jesus in our way of life and our actions. And that brings us to where I want to pick up my reading tonight in the book of Jude in verse number 17. And he goes through these first 16 verses and he describes this crowd. And he tells us what they are. They're liars. They're fruitless. They have no benefit. They're hindrances. We're to beware of them. Then he says in verse 17, but beloved, he's talking to God's children again. But beloved, remember ye these words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual. They choose to separate themselves from the Word of God. They live sensual lifestyles, having not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means they never were saved. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now I want to leave off reading there. And in verses 20 through 23, Jude makes seven statements that are very important instructions to you and me, children of God, encouraging us to live holy lives, Holy Spirit control lives, lives that will magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and help us to be able to stand and withstand those that will come with heresy and lies in these last days. May I say to you, you don't know those that are teaching heresy and living heresy by the way they talk. You know them by comparing what they believe and what they practice to the Bible, God's Word. John said it another way, we're to try those spirits to see if they be of God. And we try them, we put them under the test of the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word shall not pass away. God's Word is holy, it's pure, it's undefiled, it's preserved, it's divinely inspired. It is the final rule of authority in all matters of faith and practice in our Christian life. It is the supreme court of the Christian life. Any questions or doubts, we appeal to the Bible. And when the Bible speaks, that settles it. And God help those who reject and turn away willfully from the Bible to follow their own pernicious ways. I want to point out maybe tonight just a couple or three of the things that Jude said in this little book that's so precious and so encouraging and yet such a great warning to every one of us. Father, help me tonight. I want to be a blessing. I want you to use the message and stir our hearts and open our understanding that we truly might not just claim you in word, but declare you by our life. Now, Lord, thank you for your people that came out on this Wednesday night. Thank you for our guests and visitors. Thank you for those who have been newly saved. God, would you help the Word of God and your preacher to be helpful and encouraging and instructive on this Wednesday evening. And then as we partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering the suffering and the bleeding and the dying of the Lord Jesus, let us rejoice again that you loved us while we were yet sinners. We didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, but you died for us in spite of our sin and made it possible for us to be saved. Oh, how we as unworthy, hell-deserving sinners are recipients of the wonderful grace of God and mercy of God and the gift of God, Jesus Christ, who provides eternal life for those that believe. Now bless this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. This is my annual deer stand sermon. You know, you spend a lot of time sitting and looking. And so I read and look and pray and look. Sleep. And I want to point out just a couple of things that the Lord spoke to my heart about as I was reading the scripture. I want you to notice, first of all, seven things. Seven bits of instruction Jude gives to us so that we might not become victims of those who teach heresy, especially in the name of the grace of God. Now understand, most of the people that teach heresy don't come out and say, I'm a cult. I'm a part of a cult. I'm teaching you something that does not agree with the Bible. They'll use a little bit of scripture to teach you their lie. And we've got to know the difference. We've got to know the Bible. We don't study the false teachers to be able to discern them as false teachers. We study the Word of God and compare their doctrine to the Word of God, and the Word of God declares the real from the unreal. And so we must know the Scripture. And the first of these seven simple statements that Jude gives us to help us grow and become strong and not become victims of those who pretend to be God's servants, but in fact turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God by their lifestyle and their doctrine. The first thing I want to point out is verse 20. Jude said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now that's a bit of instruction that Jude gives to every one of us concerning Christian growth and being able to know the difference between the right and the wrong. What is Bible and what is heresy? Build up yourselves on the most holy faith. Now notice, he didn't say, let the preacher strengthen you. He didn't say, let the Sunday school teacher strengthen you. He said, build up yourselves on the most holy faith. Nobody could get saved for you. It was a personal decision you had to make. Salvation, though it's the same gift of God to everyone who comes to Jesus, you had to come individually and personally. And may I say to you, if you're going to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, then you've got to be actively involved in building up yourself. Now, I was never a big, muscular kid growing up. Man, I envy some of these guys that are 3 axe handles across and 6'4". I wasn't built like that. But every now and then, Freddie Wynn Parker in Hayden Community would give me his leftover funny books after he'd gotten through with them. And on the back page of some of the funny books was the story of Charles Atlas. How many of you remember that? Old Charles Atlas was a scrawny little feller. One day he went to the beach with his girlfriend, and a big old bully came along, kicked sand in his face, and stole his girlfriend. And he said, I'm going to find out what I can do to be able to build up myself. So Charles Atlas is the one that developed isometric exercises for bodybuilding and body toning. They still use them today. You don't have to have $500 set of barbells and exercise equipment. You learn how to put pressure against the muscle and hold it there for so long. And the pressure strengthens the muscle over time. And the funny book tells the story after he became Mr. America. He went back to the beach. He worked that old fella over. He kicked sand in his face. I don't know if I'd have got my girlfriend back. I probably wouldn't wanted her after that. But he had to build himself up. Now, as a boy, I wanted muscles. I really did. Man, I'd see these guys come out and do like this, and man, I said, I want some of that. But you know, I never got it watching somebody else work out. You have to get involved and get into the workout yourself. And that's what Jude is saying here. He's saying, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. By the way, do you have a spiritual workout program? There's people saved and unsaved alike. They have workout programs, whether it's walking or jogging or bicycle riding or exercise. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to tone this old body. They're trying to toughen it up and trim it down. If you're going to build up yourself spiritually, you got to have a spiritual workup program. And that's what Jude is saying. He's saying, build up yourself in the most holy faith. Now, when the Bible talks about faith in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's talking about the God-given gift to believe, to trust, to depend upon God. So it's talking about faith. But when the Bible says the faith, or in this case, the most holy faith, it's talking about the Scripture. If you're going to grow up spiritually, if you're going to develop spiritual muscle, you've got to have a workout program with the Word of God. You build up yourselves on the most holy faith. On Christ the solid rock I stand. You got to know what He says, what He teaches, what's right to believe, what we ought not believe. We need to know how to get right with God and how to stay right with God. We need to know how to please Him. We need to know how to live, how to pray. That's building up ourselves, spending time in the Scripture. Now, if you want to learn about the history of the Bible and the history of Israel, then you can read in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament pictures in types and shadows the truths and the doctrines taught and established in the New Testament. But as young Christians and new Christians, I would suggest that you get on a program of reading the New Testament and learning the Scripture in the New Testament, the doctrines that Christ established for the church and for the believer. And after you begin to grow and work out and get established in the Scripture and the New Testament, you see, the New Testament is the reality of what is pictured in the Old Testament. Now, it's all right after you grow mature to begin to learn about the pictures and the type. Okay? But let me tell you, the pictures and the type, though they're exciting, they're fun to study, they can't replace the real thing. In fact, they have no meaning without the real thing. And the real thing, the real person taught by the types and the shadows is Jesus Christ. We need to know about Him. Only as we build up ourselves on the most holy faith, the Word of God, the doctrine, will we ever grow spiritually? Will we ever know the real from the unreal, the right from the wrong? What pleases God and what doesn't please God? You know, it didn't take me long as a boy to learn that if I would get in my daddy's favor and stay in my favor, in his favor, life was a lot easier. And there's a lot of fringe benefits that I could enjoy. And once we get to know Jesus and how to live in his favor and stay in his favor, we can enjoy the fringe benefits of his promises, his blessings, his provisions. But my soul, if you don't know about them, how are you going to claim them? How are you going to say, God, man, I want to claim that promise? How are you going to, if somebody gave you $1 million down at the bank and you never knew about it, it'd do you no good. And I'm here to tell you what God has given to us in the pages of the Word of God is more valuable than a multi-million dollar gift. And some of you have no idea. You know all the Cowboys by number. You know their stats. You know who ran for so many yards, how many catches they made, how many yards in each catch. You know all the stats of the NFL. You have your fantasy team and you know what this one did and that one did. But you don't know Simon Peter from Thomas when it comes to Scripture. You don't know assurance verses. From promises. Build up yourselves in the most holy faith. That's the teachings of the Word of God. The teachings of the Word of God. I believe every mature Christian ought to read from three passages, three books of the Bible, plus their other Bible reading every day. You read the book of Psalms to be sweet. Read the book of Proverbs to be wise. You read the book of Acts for power. Build up yourselves. Own. That's what the Scripture said. Didn't say in. Own. I'm standing on the promises of God. Do you know the promises of God? How can you stand on something if you don't know what you're standing on? You say, man, I have a sure foundation. What is it? Well, I don't know. You need to find out what it is from the Bible. Who it is. You see, some of you don't even know what the Lord's church is or the importance of it in His program or in your life. And we need to know these things. Now, just because we get saved, it does not mean automatically all of this knowledge just comes in here automatically. We begin a program of reading, of studying, of hearing the Word of God preached, hearing the Word of God taught. That's the reason you ought to be in church and Sunday school. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we put ourselves on a program of study and reading and prayer. Hey, and don't read books about the Bible. Read the Bible. Don't substitute what somebody said about the Bible for what God says in the Bible. Put yourself on a program of building yourselves on the most holy faith. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How can you do that? Not without a program of building yourselves up on the most holy faith. Evidently, if we're to overcome the perverters of God's grace, we must be strong in the Lord. And to be strong in the Lord, we must be strong in His Word and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to rule in our life. Now I want to ask you tonight, what kind of a training program do you have to build up yourself on the most holy faith. It's talking about the Bible. God says it's the faith once for all delivered to the saints. The Bible says it's the most holy faith. It's pure. It's undefiled. It's God's Word. This book allows us to know the mind of God and the heart of God and the will of God and the doctrines of God and the way of God. We're to have that program of studying it, reading it. The most important thing you'll do with the Bible for yourself is read it. Read it. You say, I don't understand it. Don't worry about what you don't understand. You just read it until God gives you a nugget. You know, a person that goes out here to over into Arkansas to the crater of diamonds, they don't walk out there and every handful of dirt, they pick up a nugget. Some of them work and work and work and work before they find a little shiny stone. I read once where so many tons of dirt had to be moved out of the African diamond mines to find a diamond, a carat. I didn't say carat. A diamond. Well, I'm simply saying to you, we read it. We read it. Read it. And we don't need to reprint it. We need to reread it. Reread it. I don't care how long you live. You'll never learn everything there is in it. But you'll learn enough to live victoriously for Christ. I don't know how old Miss Jordan is. I think somewhere around 102. Miss Jordan, you're 70 what? 80? Man, dear goodness, I'm amazed. How many of you have ever gotten a card from Mrs. Jordan? It's like getting an epistle. Son, I read it and have a spell. My wife said one time, we need to save these in case God wants to add them to the Scripture. She uses Scripture. They're such a blessing. So encouraging. But my point is, she didn't learn that in 6 months. She didn't get to where she is at in a year or two. She's read it and reread it and read it and reread it and has hid it in her heart. And she's an encouragement to her preacher. She's an encouragement to you and to me when we're going through tough times, because she's been on a program of building up herself on the most holy faith. As a Christian, you meet someone with a broken heart or a burdened spirit. Do you know enough about the Word of God to be able to comfort them, to encourage them, to help them, or is the best you can do is say, oh, bless your heart. Build up yourself. It strengthens you, and it becomes a blessing to everybody around you. You'd be surprised what God has for you. And God wants to give to you. And what God wants to do with you. If you just knew what His Word said. And what His will was. You'll never know His perfect will. Until you get into a program. Of building up yourself. In the most holy faith. Father, that's all I'll take time for tonight. Thank you for this part of a verse that's so meaningful to us as Christians.